You're listening to the Climbing Higher radio broadcast with Bishop Eric A. Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
You think anybody held back their tithes and offerings after Ananias and Sapphira? People went home and said, hold on, Peter, give me a minute. I was going to give you this 100, but I got about 5,000 or 6,000 that I'm going to put in right now. Why? And you notice, there was never a question about giving again. Why? God killed two people. Here come the wife. This is all I got. He said, wait a minute. Are you sure? She said, yep, that's it. He said, why have you connived with your husband to lie to the Holy Spirit? The same people who took him out are going to take you out. I told God, all you got to do is kill one person in church. We'll never have a problem with offering again. People will come in. They'll be taking money out of boxes in the ground. Lord God, here you are, G. I was saving this for my cruise, but you take it now. Because in our minds, we have nothing to tell us what the judgment of God is. So that's why we treat it so with an attitude that is extremely cavalier. We you hear Jesus is coming. You don't have no point of reference. It's like, he'll come. He'll come. A couple weeks ago, the Lord said to me, I want you to buy the movie Left Behind. I said, what for? I'm saved. But I'm a good son. So I went and I ordered it from Mecca, Amazon. And I used the website so the church can get a donation. And I ordered the Left Behind thing, and I put it on. And when it got to the part of the rapture, I started getting tingly. Watch this. With fear. I watched them people disappear, and I thought, wow, what if I'm left? Now watch. I'll show you how the mind works. I started making a plan. I ain't going to Bethel. I said, the first day it happens, I'm going to run to the market. I'm going to buy $5,000 worth of food. And I'm going to live in the basement. I said, I'm not taking the mark of the beast. I had it all planned. I'm not doing no evangelism. I'm not talking to anybody. If I get left, I'm going to wait right here till Jesus comes. And if they come and get me, I'm going to kill myself right as soon as I say, Father, in the name of Jesus, please forgive me. Have mercy on me. Pow, I ain't taking the mark. Now, where'd that come from? Where'd that come from? Why did God tell me to do it? If we show a movie, The Burning Hell, you'll start thinking, oh, my God, I got to get to the altar. Why? I'm not sure I'm saved. I thought I was, as long as good stuff was happening and the Lord was blessing me and my check kept coming and, you know, I'm not part of the shutdown of the government and, you know, and things are well. But the moment your mind is confronted by harsh realities, doubt sets in. I mean, eventually I got over it. But where did it come from? I've been saved since I was 14 years old. I'm 32 now. Do the math. What would make me now begin to think about being left? Now, I know some of you talking about, Pastor, that ain't me because I know I'm going. No, you don't. Paul said it's hope. We'll deal with that later. He said, you telling me I can't know I'm saved? Yes, you can. John tells you, you can know you're saved by the love you have for everybody else. Now we should have an altar call. Because all those other things, they don't prove your salvation. John said, these things I'm writing unto you so that you may know that you have eternal life. And what was that? Love. And if you don't love, you're not saved. There's no room for hatred and God in the same body. Why is the devil fighting our minds? Miracles happen in the mind. Watch the Apostle Paul. If you go over into Romans chapter 8, the explosive chapter. Now watch what he says here, and I need you to be honest with you. He says here in Romans chapter 8, for they that are after the flesh, they mind the things of the flesh. But they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. And mind here doesn't speak to your mind. It speaks to your heart. It's saying you're going after those things of the flesh. Now watch what happens. When you chase the things of the flesh, it gets in every part of you. Your prayers are fleshly because their prayers now contain gimme, 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 gimme because they're fleshly motivated. Your relationships are fleshly. What can you do for me? Everything about you then becomes selfish. Why? Because the flesh is selfish. There is nothing generous about the flesh. Even when fleshly driven people do for you, it's for them. So you can be able to say, they did it for me. Fleshly people are selfish. So Paul says, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. There, beloved, are the two minds that you struggle with. There is no struggle for your salvation. There is a struggle for control of your mental life. Satan desires to have control of your mental life. Why? Because he knows that's where miracles begin. Walt Disney got into an airplane, decided it was time to expand his theme park operation from California, being a landlocked park. Didn't have as much land as he would have liked to have had. So he came over here on the East Coast and he looked at three cities, St. Louis being one of them, and then one up in the New England states, and the last was down in Florida. While he was in this airplane flying over this marshy, swampy area, everybody in that plane said, Walt, this is not the place to go because it's just a swampland. But Walt saw what's now Disney World. He saw it. His mind said, this is what we want. And through a series of purchases, they bought a large plot of land in Central Florida, surrounded by alligators and all types of swamp waters. But he saw a Mecca for those looking for amusement. What do you see? When you look at your life, what do you see? Do you see the swamp land or do you see the promise of God? Every day this man walked around with a withered hand, the Bible says. Every day he's reminded that this hand lacks muscular ability. It's withered, meaning it's kind of dried up and he can't use it. But he runs into Jesus. He does not ask for any assistance. He simply runs into Jesus. And Jesus says to him, stretch forth your withered hand. And he stretched it out. Brothers and sisters, the man could not have stretched it out had he not realized the possibility in his mind. Coming to Jesus enabled what was in his mind to be released. You will find that when Jesus heals people without praying for them, they have already seen their healing in their minds. Already. The woman with the issue of blood, she said, and what are words? Words are thoughts with clothes on. She said, if I can just touch but his clothes, I shall be healed. You hear what I'm saying? She pushed her way through because in her mind, she said, all I got to do is touch his clothes. I don't even need to touch him because I'm not supposed to touch him because I'm unclean. If I can just touch his clothes. And when Jesus turned around, he said, your faith has made you whole. And faith is not spiritual. It is mental assent to what the word of God says. There's nothing spiritual about faith. Faith is the result of. Some of the older saints here now, you remember when you used to fry pork products, bacon and salt pork and things like that, and it makes a lot of grease in the cast iron pan, and you used to save that grease in a Crisco jar. Why? So you can put it in with your greens and your string beans to give it what? Flav. Oh, Lord have mercy. Y'all young aluminum pan cookers, y'all don't know nothing about it. You microwave people, y'all don't know nothing about the fat that take a tablespoon and put it in your black eyed peas. Yeah. It give it flavor. You ain't have all these other spices and herbs. You just throw some of that rendering from them. Well, here's what, oh Lord help me. When you hear the word of God, when it cooks in your brain, the rendering is faith. That's what's there. And God expects you to scoop it up and throw it into everything in your life. You need to get healed. Your mind should be saturated with every healing scripture. And there should be the grease of belief. And you take that and you say to the devil, I don't care what my body says. My mind says I am healed. Glory. Renew it. Carnal minds are those that chase after carnal things. They want prestige, they want glory, they want position, status, they want stuff. Spiritual minds want relationships. In men and women, men want stuff, women want relationships. You seldom, if ever, find a man sitting with his woman saying, but do you love me? You don't find a man doing that. Women will do it all. They sit with you right in the middle of the movie. Do you feel about me the same way he and you? Oh God, just what you talking about? Now watch his answer. His answer will not be, yeah, baby, you know good and well that I know. His answer will be, I paid the mortgage. You living in this house. Look at that ring on your finger, because that's how God wired us. It's like God, when he took the rib out of us, he took the feeling rib out. That's why we had to be instructed to love our wives, because we'll forget. Because we're minus a rib. He didn't tell wives to love their husbands. He said, wife, you submit. Why? Because you're a rib. You're just kind of out there. See? And so you'll find that there's this battle that goes on. Well, that's how the mind is. The spirit mind looks to serve. The carnal mind looks to be served. The carnal mind says everybody has to stand up when I walk in and genuflect when I come in and call me by my titles. The spirit mind says you don't even need to know I'm here. Just let me get up and do what I'm supposed to do. And watch God get the glory. All I'm concerned about, I'm not concerned about getting the credit. I'm concerned about God getting the glory. That's all that matters to me, is to make sure that at the end of the sermon, at the end of the service, at the end of the day, I can say to God, you were lifted up. You were higher. Doesn't matter if you notice anything else. The carnal mind results in death. Death. But the spirit mind, it results in life and peace. Notice, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, it does not submit to God. It hates God. The carnal mind does not want to employ the truths of God's word. The carnal mind will tell you not to love those who mistreat you. The carnal mind will justify vengeance. The carnal mind will justify exposing people so you can look better. The carnal mind will have you bring the woman taken in adultery to Jesus to be judged. But the carnal mind will not have you answer the question, why were you there looking? The spirit mind will say, brother, sister, I notice there's some deficiencies, but can I work with you? Can I pray with you? Nobody needs to know. I saw you coming out the bar the other day. Is there anything I can do to help you? I saw you coming out that crack house. I know, God, that's not God's best for you. Listen, I'll keep it just between me, you, and God. Is there anything I can do to help you? The spirit mind looks to lift. The carnal mind looks to destroy. The spirit mind looks to serve. The carnal mind says, I ain't doing it if it's not done my way. We don't get it. All decisions for God's church come from God. I may be the pastor, but this is the Lord's church. And I have to do what he says to do. And maybe you won't like the decision that's made. But the carnal mind says, well, if he ain't doing it my way, then I ain't serving. Let me move on. It made him mad, Lord. I didn't want to make him. Let me get you happy now. So then they that are in the flesh, verse 8, cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the spirit, if so be that the spirit of God dwell in you. Hallelujah. If you are in the spirit, then you find that your life is different. You find that a spiritual mind will cause your life to be different. A spirit mind, if you notice in Ephesians chapter 6, when Paul talks about your war, your clothes for war, verses 16, 17, and 18, you probably never read it like this before. He says in verse 16 of Ephesians 6, take the shield of faith wherewith you are able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray always with all prayer and supplication. Those three verses have to do with your mind. All three verses. Now, Paul again is promoting mental warfare. Number one, he says, take the shield of faith so that you will quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Where do the darts come? To your mind. Satan doesn't send a dart against your body. He sends a dart against your mind, and then your mind welcomes it to your body. Well, why are you going through this? Because everybody in my family went through it. So I know it's going to come on me. Now, in your mind, you have already determined you're going to die. And it is a psychological reality that anyone who believes they're going to die will find a way to do it. Because you've convinced yourself, nobody likes me. Everybody's talking about me. Everybody is trying to hurt me. And we want to bring you over. This is why you have to guard your mind. Watch. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, the apostle says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, verse 4, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Now, most Christians will take the strongholds and make it external. But the strongholds are internal. Notice what he says. We cast down imaginations, mental, and every high thing that exalts itself against your knowledge of God, mental, and bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, mental. Where are the strongholds? Mental. The enemy is fighting for your mind. Therefore, the mind needs to be renovated. It cannot remain in the defeated state that it was in when you were a Christian, or were not a Christian, rather. When you became a Christian, your soul was saved, but you have to renovate your mind. How? Go to Psalm 119. I'm not done with Ephesians 6, but Psalm 119. Yay, glory. It's the longest psalm in the Bible. And it's what we call an acrostic psalm. Every verse starts with a letter in the Hebrew. And it just plays right through. Psalms 119 talks about those who keep the law of God. He says in verse 1, blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Notice, the undefiled are those who obey the word. Anytime you hear word, immediately connect mind. Because words are designed to affect the mind. They're not designed to affect your feet. They are designed to change your thinking. And then that thought process will affect every other part of you. When my doctor gave me a certain directive one year, about 4 or 5 years ago, that I had to change something. And I came back 6 months later, and he saw that I had changed everything. His words to me were, "Why did you do that?" I said, "Doc, you told me to do it." He said, "I wish all my patients were like that." I said, "I'm paying you $135. I'm going to do what you tell me. And if I don't want to do what you tell me, then I shouldn't come to you." If you're going to do what God says, read the word. If you're not going to do what God says, don't read the word. "Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee." Not here. Because you can't hide anything in here. It's just a muscle whose sole purpose is to pump blood. It doesn't feel, "Oh, you broken my heart." No, you didn't. And if that were true, what happens when you get a transplant? If you get my heart, right? Say we were in car accidents and I'm a donor. And my license says you can take my heart and put it in somebody else. If they take my heart and put it in you, are you going to be like me? Are you going to be Jamaican? Are you going to pastor a church? No, it's just a muscle. And you can't transplant minds. Now, if you can transplant my mind, then you'd be me.
We pray that you were blessed and encouraged by the message you heard today. To order today's message, call 215-885-2585. When ordering, refer to the program title,
Renovation of the Mind,
or the program number,
01319A.
If you'd like to view the Climbing Higher daily telecast, tune in to WBPH-TV on Comcast Cable, Monday through Friday at 7:30 a.m. Please check your local cable listings for the channel number in your region. To stream Bethel's Sunday services live, visit BethelDeliverance.org or download the Bethel Deliverance app on iTunes or Google Play. We stream live on Sundays beginning at 8:15 a.m. and 12 p.m. You're also invited to join us in person by attending any of our Sunday services taking place at 7:30 a.m., 11:30 a.m., and 6 p.m. at our main sanctuary located at 2929 West Sheldon Avenue in Winco, PA. For more information about Bishop Lambert and Bethel Deliverance International Church, follow us on social media through Facebook and Instagram, or contact us at 215-885-2585. Thank you for tuning in today. Keep climbing higher in the Word of God.
The Climbing Higher broadcast with Bishop Eric A. Lambert, Jr. is part of the media outreach ministry of Bethel Deliverance International Church. Our goal is to reach the world with powerful messages of faith, truth, and victory taught from the Word of God. You can take part in this significant mission by becoming a media partner. Your weekly, monthly, or one-time gift goes directly towards reaching the masses with life-changing messages of hope from God's Word. We invite you to visit the BethelDeliverance.org media link for more information about the media partnership. You may also contact the media outreach representative at 215-885-2585 to make a donation. Thank you for tuning in to the Climbing Higher broadcast with Bishop Eric A. Lambert, Jr. of Bethel. Bethel Deliverance International Church. We appreciate your support.